And also one can think that concept is only concept, not reality.
And that is another level of understanding. There can be kusala citta at level of metta, and there can be the higher one which understands that it's only a moment of kusala. So that one will not cling to one's metta, that it's my metta. Usually one likes to change instead of to develop right understanding with awareness, direct awareness. One clings to kusala instead of developing right understanding of each reality as a conditioned reality, not self. It shows one's clinging to oneself. One doesn't see that the understanding of reality which appears is better than trying to change, because right understanding will condition more kusala in the future. It's not the self who can have kusala at will.
I have a question about developing understanding and awareness. You said that one has to know the difference between the reality which experiences an object and the object which is experienced with awareness. Mm-hmm. What about knowing the difference between the realities that appear at one doorway and the realities that appear at another doorway?
It is magic. It develops gradually. And right understanding gradually becomes precise.
Mm. So one doesn't have that as a particular thing.
It depends on awareness. For the one who sees the difference between seeing and hearing, one cannot say that, no, that's not right. There should be the awareness of seeing that is different from visual object. It depends on that reality which is conditioned to be thinking or to be aware of seeing and then aware of other realities later. But one has to have right understanding, that the precise understanding understands better and deeper and clearer. When one has wrong view, one likes to have it. One clings. One doesn't want to hear other teachings because one wants to cling to one's wrong view. We talked about Guan Yin last time.
Last time?
Last Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the one who likes to cling to Guan Yin doesn't want to hear anything different.
Mm-hmm.
Because attachment is attached to such wrong thing that it doesn't want to get rid of it. Don't want to consider who's she and what's the use of clinging to her.
Is that kind of, that's what you think, isn't it?
Very dangerous. Because there's no reason.
So it's a bad habit, bad accumulation.
And clinging, strong clinging. Not even to find out the reason. Because one should find out the reason of professing in anyone like Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, so that one can have the real purpose of having the the triple gems for one's guide. For what? The Trairat, Ratana Trai, for one's guide.
Mm-hmm.
Because if one just worship without following the teachings, what's the use? Just wanting to get the result, which one knows that one will have the result of one's kusalacitta, but there's clinging to the kusala vipaka, the wholesome results. And why not Pante Sariputta and Pante Mokkhalana and other arahatas, but Kuan Yin? Why? One doesn't want to find out. So one can see the danger of wrong view, that one clings so that one does not want to get rid of.
Why, what are the conditions for such clinging and such an idea to come up? Because I never saw it before, now suddenly.
That is the strong accumulation of clinging.
And so we may think that we don't have so much, but it may still come up.
But if one finds out reason all the time, it's helpful to know what's right and what's wrong. But if one does not want to hear anything against one's clinging and one's wrong view, it means that nobody can help them.
The discussion at Wapawan with Khunsa Chin. On Sunday, the 8th of June, 1980, begins.
Does that mean that we start with another moment then? If you say if we're not practiced enough at what?
There's not as much as you'd like, or?
I don't see why it doesn't happen more often or more naturally when there is some appreciation. What is the, there isn't enough practice, but what is the food, or how do, what prevents us and what leads us to and from?
Even if you appreciate the satipatthana, knowing about the existence, because there are many methods of such knowledge, and we have accumulated things which
the thinking about the moment of being aware, that it has a higher and now it's difficult. What about the immediate awareness instead of thinking about why it's so difficult? There can be awareness now, direct awareness, instead of thinking about the difficulty. Because if one thinks about the way to make it easier, it's not the moment of being aware. To keep on thinking of this and that all the time. So just feeling. The difficulty should be whether one has the right understanding of awareness or not. Sometimes one takes concentration for awareness. So if there is no right understanding of right awareness cannot arise. If there is no understanding of the objects of awareness, it's impossible for awareness to be aware of anything. So there must be right understanding of the right objects of right awareness first. What is the right object of right awareness at this moment of seeing? What is the right object of right awareness at this moment of hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, feeling? Any reality which appears now.
It has to be right understanding of the objects
of awareness. So that awareness can be aware of it.
So what is the understanding of the object that so there can be awareness of it?
Mm-hmm.
What is the understanding?
The reality which appears now is a reality that can be object of awareness. Visual object can be object of awareness. Seeing can be object of awareness. Touching is an object of awareness. Does anyone want to close one's eyes now? Or there can be awareness at this moment of seeing, developing right understanding of which object which appears as this reality. Which can be seen to eyes.
That seems rather a straightforward level of understanding that we would probably have read about or heard about. So there must be another level of the understanding about the object. Because even though we hear about visible object and have that level of understanding of the object, it still is presently not a condition for the understanding to cause sati.
That's why the more we talk about the
visual object which appears, and there could be more understanding, and so there can be some moments of awareness of visual object.
There seems to be a lot of doubt of whether there is even sati of the visible object or the seeing.
One cannot get rid of doubt immediately, but right understanding can begin to develop. Beginnings.
We go over that, though. We kind of think we're beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
We step over this kind of beginning.
Trying to go beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So come back.
And develop.
To this moment.
Experience of it.
could you help me?
Enlightenment is the fully developed understanding with awareness directly.
there be anybody or anything?
A visible object. Yes, it seems like a body or anybody could be a visible object.
But visible object is a reality which can appear to anything, to things or thank you.
different characteristics of reality in India. The moment of seeing is different from the moment of hearing. Different realities, different moments. One moment at a time from one moment.
What about when, like, some of this, the senses work in combination with each other? Like, you're listening to music or something, and you're also keeping time. So you're thinking about, you're listening, and then you're thinking about time at the same time. Do these combinations have any integrity of their own, or is it just always moving parts?
Can there be many moments in one moment?
You know, psychologically, I mean, one moment can be... You mean many moments in one moment? No, that doesn't make sense.
Life goes on from one moment to another moment. Moment by moment. That's 2-3 moments to be. When one says a moment of seeing, it's the moment of just experiencing visual objects. So short. Like moment of hearing, there cannot be any thinking of idea at that actual moment of just experiencing sound so fast. So hearing cannot be at moment of seeing. One moment of seeing. Another moment of hearing. In fact, so when it seems like there are hearing and seeing together now, but when there is awareness of the characteristic which experiences sound, or at the moment when just sound appears, there is no visual object in the sound, so it's the moment of just experiencing. For this moment of seeing, sound is not in the visual object. Sound cannot be seen. So the moment of seeing is just one moment.
When you say sound is not in the visual object, and if we can understand that, can we understand a level of something?
Something, a level of understanding. Intellectual. There is awareness at that moment of sound or of the reality which experiences sound. So that there is no one who hears, just the moment of experiencing sound. Where is the visual object?
Does that mean many more moments of thinking?
when it's thinking, it's not the moment of experiencing sound or physical object. So sound appears when there is hearing.
When sound appears when there's hearing, but is there awareness, or is it the sound of your voice and the air conditioner at the same time?
They are different, right?
They are different.
One experiences the difference. There must be different moments which experience different moments, different objects. So one knows the difference.
What determines which one arises?
The sound of the air conditioner and the sound of my body are different.
Yes.
One knows or experiences that. That reality is different. Different consciousness experiences different objects. The object is different. So the citta experiences the difference. Because the objects are different.
Now are you saying you can only experience one thing at a time?
Friends.
Makes sense.
What is the jitta again?
A reality which can experience objects. The faculty of experiencing
an
object at a time.
Like a jitta, one example would be like the seeing, or they're all jittas.
Seeing is a type of jitta, hearing is another type of jitta. Because seeing cannot experience sound, and hearing cannot experience visual.
Where is the citta?
Jitta doesn't.
But without the object, does the jitta.
We cannot call that object if there is no experiencing of it. If one wants to understand the characteristic of jitta, it's this moment of seeing, hearing, thinking. Citta vipassana vipassana is this moment of seeing, hearing. Otherwise, one cannot find or understand citta. If there is no understanding of seeing, hearing, so now, this moment of seeing, experiencing, vision.
Could you repeat where it was? I think I missed the answer. Somebody answered it.
As long as the seeing is that experience,
which is seeing. Okay. Oh, yeah. And that made me ask if the jitta existed without the object. Let's say the seeing existed if there's not an object to see.
The seeing is not the object which is seen. Then is that seeing?
Even if, but if there's no object?
It is what then?
Nothing.
When do you see nothing? Still ringing up here.
It almost seems as if you're saying, tell me if this is right or wrong, if you're saying that jitta is dependent on objects, but the objects aren't dependent on the jitta.
There are many conditions for the arising of each jitta. For example, seeing, there must be eyesight, and the preceding jitta, which adverts to the object which touches the eyesight, before seeing could arise. And there are also many little factors arising with jitta which see. Which is experience of it. When one thinks about citta, inheritance of mind, or jaya in Thai language, it seems like one understands it clearly or perfectly, but it is only thinking about seeing it, hearing, but it's not the direct understanding of moment of seeing. And this is to be about until seeing appears as a reality which experiences, not the visual object which is seen. Before enlightenment.
About Macharya and in the book by Nina van Gorkum on Chetasikas, there's a part there which says when there is stinginess there is also aversion towards the object which is experienced at that moment, and I'm wondering what that object is that is experienced, that there is aversion, because I tend to get the feeling there's lopa in macharya rather than dosa. So I'm wondering what the object is where there is dosa.
Whenever there is lopa, there is no macharya. One enjoys experiencing that object. One likes that object.
But macharya, yes.
Pleasant or indifferent feeling.
And that's why I think it arises in macharya.
When it's macharya, it's unpleasant. Or is it pleasant?
Well, because of its pleasantness, I would think someone would hang on to it and not want to let go of it.
A moment of liking it, enjoying it, it's yoga,
yes.
It's not macharya. Mm-hmm. But whenever there's macharya, the feeling is not pleasant. It's unpleasant, so it cannot be lopa.
What is the object?
Third person?
A third person. The person... The person...
I don't want you to have this.
Why not? yes, so there's a version...
You can give and share. So the object must be.
So there's aversion to the individual that you feel is there, likely to want that object.
To take away the share.
And so, if you had good feelings towards that individual, it macharya wouldn't arise. So it's always directed towards an individual?
Isn't there also a version to the state of death arrive in cooperation? To give it away, you've not got it any longer, so you're averse, because you agree with them, you're averse to losing it. Not irrespective of who you give it.
At the moment I've been joining it, it's pure lopa, no macharya, But when you think of the other who will take it away, and you don't want the person to share what you have.
Yes, but it's not necessarily directed at the person, it's directed at the possibility of you not having it.
And that is not material. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Kind of fear, movement, the object.
Yes.
Rather
than being stingy
for someone else to acquire. I don't want this.
Mm.
I don't want you to acquire this.
So that's different from stinginess.
So that is
stingy. Yeah. Yes, I mean, what I was saying.
Yeah. I can lose this and feel regretful for the loss of it. But when I don't want you to have it,
reputation and doctrine or mental objects. I don't think it's just necessarily Dharma. There can be mental things that one is attached, ideas that one is attached.
I don't want to share my ideas.
I don't want to share my happiness.
Mental happiness.
Probably any mental thought that probably can be shared. One doesn't want to share it. I would think that it's because of these five things that the aversion arises towards an individual. There is at least this dosa towards an individual. Is that what it means?
These are the objects of material.
They're the objects that would make, would condition a dosa towards individuals that we call material. Yes. But there has to be a non-liking of the individual for it. Material to arise. So you would say there's those two conditions. One is the individual is not liked by you. Also, there is the that object that you don't wish to share. Person's not loved.
At the moment, we have to dislike this person and then be stingy because just our very attachment to the thing can condition stinginess without disliking this person.
Would you say there's not enough liking for that individual at that moment? There's not enough to give.
Another question, do we have to like someone? We can give without liking, so it's not as though more attachment
don't have to like them. Yeah. But if you might not like someone, or you might have a feeling that they're not a particularly pleasant individual, but at the moment you give to them, that doesn't exist. Because if it does exist, you wouldn't give. So you at that moment you have some form of
adutta,
Canadian accent. Hot. Hot and uncomfortable. I'm hot and uncomfortable.
So
but even so, even if you hated someone intensely, at the moment you give them something, then at that moment there's no hate.
Mm-hmm. If you have good will,
question, do we have to give?
Oh.
It doesn't really come in
subject. Do we have to give? I don't know. Can we always
give?
Probably not. No. To myself, I can. There was also something in here that said, wishes not to give to others what belongs to himself, and wishes to take what belongs to others. That for Macharya, wishes to take what belongs to others. That didn't seem like Macharya.
What about when someone's entitled to something that you don't feel about? It could be
in the place yeah. where you were given jointly, you and these other persons, say, a massive drug of ice cream, you take the larger part, you're in fact taking part of the other persons, that is through stinginess. So you are taking from the other person through stinginess.
So this statement, wishes to take what belongs to others, would not be macharya. Wishes to take what belongs to others. Rather hard to reinterpret that, belongs to others.